All right, this is a center update with Dr. Gary, an opportunity for me to share a bit about what goes on behind the scenes. I'm not going to share a lot today because we have a pretty full program, and we just don't want me to run over, right? So just a couple of things. First of all, we have a community membership meeting next Sunday after services. It'll be a brief meeting, about a half hour, and so join me after services. We'll start that no later than 1 o'clock. And then for those of you who are in spirit groups discussing the Sunday message, Tara, you're going to take a picture of this slide. So what you'll be doing is considering the following areas: material possessions, lifestyle, wealth, career, family and friends, relationships, life partner, health, audacious goals, spirituality, and giving back. Where does the sense of not enough, unworthiness, or inadequacy show up? Which of these areas do those limiting beliefs show up? And what's up with that? So that's what you'll be talking about. And some of the things I'll be sharing in my talk today will inform your conversation about that. Also, I just want to mention that there's a bit of a different setup today. Actually, you see this huge thing right here. I have a different projector, and we're using the church's projector. But this is to give you a sense of the difference between our current system and a high-definition system. So we're wanting to make some upgrades in time as we're able to move towards affording the technological updates. We plan to get a high-definition quality system where we'll project from behind the screen as opposed to way, way back there. And so that'll necessitate an upgrade in the screen and our projectors. Then we got live streaming to do. We have the world to awaken, on and on and on and on, da-da-da-da-da-da. So that's the plan. With that said, time for a meditation song.
Let's breathe in those words. I surrender. I surrender all. I invite you to join me as we take some time to get still. And we begin by focusing on our breath. Just observing the breath as it moves in and out. Not trying to control it or change it. As we focus on the breath, we bring into our mind's eye someone or something that we deeply appreciate. A person or a pet or a cherished memory. We choose someone or something that activates the feeling. And as we do, we feel it begin to rise up, warming our hearts. And with each breath, we go a little deeper into our hearts. And we let that appreciation expand until it fills our body. This high vibration of appreciation, bathing every cell. We imagine breathing into the heart. Let it expand even more and radiate from the body as we create together an energetic field of harmony and peace. And as our hearts continue to open, we connect with that deeper self, the deeper dimension. And we allow it to be expressed as we surrender to the greater self that is with us always within our very hearts, just awaiting our recognition. So we create together this energetic field that goes beyond the walls of the sanctuary and blesses our world as we enter the silence together. Thank you, Blessed Spirit, for the truth that we are all one, that there's no separation, that Spirit is our source, that we are each here to express that source, to be God in action as we bless our planet. And so it is. Amen.
All right, way to go. So I've been doing the series on making your mind matter. Now it's making your heart mind matter. So added a little bit extra there. So we're talking about our third foundation principle in unity, which is that we create our own personal reality through our thoughts and our beliefs and how we be with whatever we're having. That sets us up for having our life a certain way unto us. And we've already acknowledged that for the most part, when we're unconscious, there is a part of us that runs us. In other words, creates a kind of default reality or a reality that's based upon our conditioned beliefs. So we basically replicate the habit of being ourselves over and over and over and over again. And when we consider bringing forth a greater good in our life, it has to work in conjunction with the conditioned part of us. So if there's 95% of our being basically determining how we are, and the 5% of us that's conscious is wanting something different, then we can see that there's quite the challenge to override the circuitry that has us established in ways of being that just basically run us. And so over the last several months that I've been sharing with you, I've been unpacking that dynamic. And so today is about the workaround. Today is about us now understanding and pulling all together, all the brain science, all the research, all the principles, to now formulate a way in which we can work around that particular conundrum so that we can instead leverage how our brain works and how we do create our reality in such a way as that we be more intentional about what comes to us, what we're having happen in our life experience. So that's so sort of where we are. And the title of my talk today is It's My Time. And this is a very, I'm very passionate about this particular moment. Actually, I'm doing all that I can to try to contain myself because it feels as if the last 18 months of Jane and I being here has brought at least me to this place where I am wanting to step out in a way that I've never stepped out before in my entire life. And you're involved. You're part of this experience for me, and I'm wanting to let you know what's going on with me because I want to take you with me wherever I'm going. So with that said, let me just sort of say that what I'm going to share in just a little while is a mind movie. A mind movie is a specific kind of visualization tool. And this tool was introduced to Jane and me several months ago. As I have mentioned in previous talks, after I contracted my high-speed rapid transformational process called cancer, and Jane said, okay, let's sign up for Joe Dispenza, Dr. Joe's workshop, which was in Seattle at the time, several months later, and so we signed up for that workshop, going there because Dr. Joe is most famous for teaching people how, just through the practice of meditation and really leveraging how our brain works, we can create a different personal reality, which includes greater health and greater well-being and greater abundance, so on and so forth. But as it happened, I got healed before we went on that workshop. So it was apparent that we weren't there to learn how to heal so much as it was we were there to learn the science behind manifesting a greater good in one specific life. And so as a part of that being our intention, we signed up for the advanced training, which just happens to be held in Cancun this next in November. So sorry, I know we're taking one for the team. That's all I can say. And so in preparation for this session where we're going to receive advanced training, so think of his trainings are like in auditoriums that seat 550 people. So that's the size of the group. But that size of group creates such powerful coherence. It's just so amazing. But anyway, in preparation for this particular session, this advanced training, he sent all 550 participants a subscription to mindmovies.com, requiring of each one of us to create our own mind movie as a visualization tool that he is in turn going to then teach all 550 of us how to take that tool and combine it with a meditation process and practice to manifest greater good in one's life. And he has so many testimonies of the power of this particular process. I mean, it's just waiting lists and waiting lists and waiting lists to get into these programs. And so I'm wanting to report now, after having spent 3 months working with this mind movie visualization tool and my effort to create this, I'm wanting to now speak to its value and what it's done for me personally and in my own personal life, because I want every one of you, if you want one, to have your own mind movie. I'll say more about that as we go. But in addition to this as being part of what we're preparing to engage as far as our process for the purpose of training, the other side of this story is that the church is working on its sense of not enough, because right now the church is dealing with financial issues. And the reality is that the church's organizational is not enough is only possible because some of us live in not enough as well. Now, I'm not just talking about not enough money, but you just name the ways in which not enough shows up in your own personal life, and you'll discover that almost universally, everyone has some sense of not enough that's in their way of manifesting a greater good in one's life. And for me, the biggest sense of not enough in my own personal life has to do with my profession, my career. And so for the longest time, I would say for the last 20 years, where I've invested most of my energy in trying to evolve the unity movement, evolve the New Thought movement, working with ministry leaders to try to help bring forth a new paradigm of ministry that works, and especially in this current climate, people have remarked to me how much they've appreciated my efforts, my wisdom, my experience, and then they lament, it's too bad you're too far ahead of your time. And so for me, not enough has manifested as people telling me, it's not my time. You're ahead of your time. Just imagine you have such a gift that you want to give to the world, and basically people are telling you, it's not, you're ahead of your time. It's too soon. You've come too soon. And so one of the things that have happened is that this mind movie process has brought me into a relationship to that conundrum that I'm walking around with, this limiting belief that is confirmed by every professional source out there that I'm ahead of my time, and now I'm ready to release that. So in other words, what I'm suggesting is that this mind movie for me and my own personal experience has brought me into the reckoning that this is my time. And I'm wondering if this is not your time too. If there has been something in your life that you've waited for or that you've been yearning for, or hungry for, wanting to manifest, wanting to happen, and it just hasn't happened yet because there's some part of you that has pushed it away because some message within you said you're not good enough, you're not worthy, you're not okay, you're not safe, you're not enough. And if this is something that is something that you have struggled with, and if this is something that you're wanting to release, then this has got to be your time as well. And so if this is my time, and if this is something that Jane and I are sort of committed to, and to take you with us, we're going to a place where our time is what's going to be ruling the creation of our reality. And so this is a story about creating a intentionality that moves all the excuses out of your field and places you in a relationship with bringing forth the greater good that you know is capable of unfolding in your life because of who and what you've come here to be. And we're going to eliminate all the excuses, all the reasons why that can't happen. And we need to do this together because it's what the world needs. And imagine creating an energetic field of more than enough, and imagine people walking into that field, what they'll experience when they arrive here in this place. This is something that I published on my last blog that I just want to reiterate. And actually, you should, if you're not subscribing to my blog, drgarysimmons.com, you should, because I'm telling the entire world what we're doing here at Unity Spiritual Center of Spokane. That's going to set us apart from any other New Thought church on the planet. We're doing things that are going to be totally different, and therefore we're going to become a model for others. And so this is something that came through my process of walking my talk, walking while I'm talking out loud and having myself record myself as I'm walking. And so this is what came out of my mouth one evening in the not too distant past. You must first feel your more than enoughness before you can have the outer experience of greater abundance. You must first feel that you must first feel that you're worthy before you can have the experience of well-being. You must first feel your capability before having the experience of measuring up. And you see, we've had it backwards, haven't we? We have waited for something to happen for us to feel more than enough. We've waited for something outside of ourselves to appear for us to feel deserving. We've waited for something to happen in our experience for there to land within us that we measure up, that we matter, that we make a difference. But what if it doesn't work that way? What if we have to first feel how we want to experience? And that becomes the magnet that draws into our life a greater good. And so I'm suggesting that we have to work towards, in terms of our workaround, in terms of creating a present moment here now state of being that is living in the experience, the felt sense of a desired future right now, that we have to use a tool that gives us that. And guess what? One of the most powerful tools that we have to bring us into the felt sense of any kind of experience, amplifying that experience to where it feels as if that's happening now, is music.
Have you ever had music just hit you in a place that immediately brought you to tears? Music has that power.
Music connects people with who they have been, who they are, and their lives. Because what happens when you get old is all the things you're familiar with and your identity are all just being peeled away.
Healthcare system imagines the human to be a very complicated machine. We have medicines that can adjust the dials. Blood pressure, oh, turn that down. Blood sugar, oh, turn that down. We haven't done anything to touch the heart and soul of a patient.
Music has more ability to activate more parts of the brain than any other stimulus.
Who am I? Huh? Who am I? I'm your daughter.
By exciting or awakening those pathways, we have a gateway to stimulate and reach somebody who otherwise is unreachable.
It can't get away from me if I'm in this place. It
takes me back to my school days. Oh, God, that's beautiful.
Does it make you happy to sing for us?
Yeah. I'm crying.
Every human being needs stimulation from the outside, from little babies to old people.
American culture is wrong. There is actually life beyond adulthood. There's the opportunity to live and grow and become elders. The aging that we experience holds in it very important learnings and lessons.
There is no pill that does that.
So this is Tears of Joy.
So have you seen this documentary, Alive Inside? So check it out because it's awesome. And it tells us that, this whole field of support for Alzheimer patients, these are people with severe memory loss and all of a sudden come alive just by hearing contemporary, for their time, contemporary music. And it means that they can bypass a whole huge amount of whatever is inside of the heads that's in the way, have direct access to creating a present state. And so it's important for us to acknowledge that this whole dimension of working with how our brain works is just leading us in developing technologies that support the reconditioning of our mind. To the renewal of our mind. I mean, if Paul says, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, you know, we're going to have the technology to do that. I mean, but I'm wanting now to take you on a time travel experience. So are you ready? Here we go, and we'll just see what happens. And just allow yourself to experience what you experience without any false part. Would you like to dance? It's not going to last long enough. Boom, 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 for dang, 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 for ding, and all ding, doo. You saw me standing alone. Go ahead, freak out. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. I wanna hold your hand. That's my son. There's nothing else to compare. The sight of you leaves me weak. There are no words left to speak. Hey! All right. So, welcome. Say again.
Was that really your son? You said
yes, that was really my son. Yeah, he was in the Jersey Boys National Tour.
Oh, wow.
Yep. We're trying to get him to come for the billboard on Bernard, but it's still quite iffy. We'll see what happens. Anyway, so did anybody go back in time? Was it easy for you to teleport to a different time? Yes. You know, and so it's important for us to understand that this is exactly what happens in a triggering moment. When you're triggered, you go back in time. It's just that you don't have the all the neurological dots to connect as you do when you hear an old song. When you hear an old song, you go back to that time, you remember the circumstance, you remember the people, you remember what was going on. You know, if we had some drinking and cheating songs, we would be able to remember some of those. You know, something's wrong with my baby, something's wrong with me, we can get in touch with our codependents. You know you're codependent if in having a near-death experience, somebody else's life passes before your eyes. So the point is that when we are nostalgic, we can go back and we can sort of see what it's all connected to. But when we're triggered, we don't necessarily do that. We don't necessarily trace it back to where we took on a limiting belief about ourselves, and it's connected to a sense of inadequacy or unworthiness or not enough. But the point is, the principle still works the same. But what if we were to use music to bring us to a desired future instead of a predictable past or a reminiscent past? And what would that experience be like? Let's try something. This is gonna be the best day of my life. So if you were working on trying to get healthier, to be listening to his music that reaffirmed that intention, if you're wanting to manifest a fulfilling job or career, to listen to the kinds of thoughts and words that really motivate you to hold that possibility before you, to really have the felt sense that your future was here and now, that's what we're trying to create for ourselves. And as we understand the science behind manifesting a greater good and recognize that we have to work with, not sort of try to eclipse the neurocircuitry facet of manifesting a greater good, then we're interested in the tools that help us do that. So with the Mind Movie system, you have to choose a song. You have to come up with some music that moves you into a state, a felt state of upliftment, of optimism, of hope, of recognizing that that your good is making its way into your life. And in addition, you have to come up with images and representations of that coherent picture of what exactly that desired future looks like, in addition to the felt sense of what it might be. And then to come up with positive statements that reaffirm the reason, the motivation, the purpose and passion behind what it is that you're trying to create in your life. And then add that, in addition to that, subliminal messages that work on your subconscious mind that speak into you words of affirmation and support that bypass any kind of limiting belief you might have about yourself. You have the makings for pulling together a tool that can be used in the context of a specific practice that can begin to recondition your body-mind to a new reality that is trying to make its way into one's life. So that's the explanation of it. Now I'm wanting you to experience my Mind Movie with the purpose of giving you an example of what I've been working with for the last 3 months, and to also give you a sense that when I presented this to the Board of Trustees at a meeting several months ago, one of the things that we saw was that if our congregation was to somehow step up in a new way to help us manage the church's organizational not enough, before that's possible for the church to experience greater abundance, everyone in our community needs to experience that firsthand for him or herself. Does that not make sense? And that absent of you experiencing greater good in your life, how can the ministry invite you into an expression of greater good in the life of this ministry? So, in other words, we have to lift ourselves up before the organization is going to feel the benefit of that. We can't do it the other way around, because that's the way most churches in decline try to do it. And so one of the things that your board saw as a potential possibility was, after we all have success in manifesting greater good in our own personal life, what if we created a mind movie for the church? And what we wanted to create for the church's future, that we all use together in the same visualization practice to visualize a greater good for this ministry. That includes the felt sense of what we want people to feel when they walk into our presence, the energetic field that we create. So given that additional context, I share this movie with you, and recognizing that it is very personal in the sense that you're going to get a glimpse of Jane and me that few people have, and you're also going to get a glimpse of the audaciousness of my desire to combat this sense that it's not my time. It is my time, and I boldly claim that for myself in the context of every picture that you will see. You're going to see pictures that aren't about what we're experiencing now, but what we want to draw into our life, my life. You're going to see pictures from our past, Jane and my past, only because we want more of what those pictures are reminiscent of. And you're going to see pictures of what I'm wanting to create for us as a spiritual community. But the point is that this is a glimpse into my effort to field test this tool in preparation for our integrating that tool into our spiritual community's life and practice. So see what you think. Okay, so look under your seats. Everyone has their own mind movie under your seats. Just go ahead, pull it out. Well, that's sort of my Oprah moment, but this is my desire. My desire is that anyone who wants their own mind movie, that we find a way to help that, to make that happen, so that everyone who wants to can participate in a collective effort to manifest greater good, first for ourselves individually, and then for the church later on. And that in order for this project to happen, we have to acknowledge that there are different levels of expertise, capacity with respect to technology. So in other words, it required some effort on my part to learn how to use the software. And we were gifted the software by Joe Dispenza, and it's cheap. It's $100. And so I'm not asking that everybody in the church spend $100 and make your own mind movie, because it won't go anywhere. And that's not the intent. The intent is that I want to create a production team, a small group of people who would be willing to volunteer to learn the system and then be available as a volunteer for anyone else who wants a movie made. And so these volunteers would do so on a love offering basis, but for the most part, whatever is the person's need, we want to be able to meet. The ultimate aim is to take your movie and place it on a device that's easy for you to access and work with throughout the day. And not everyone is you know, that savvy, and so we're going to create a way in which anybody, at the very least, even if you don't have a device, you have music, you have a storyboard, you have affirmations, you have a way in which you can participate with this. So to that end, and in the context of all the other competing events and for funds, so we have the Billboard on Bernard, and we have the retreats, and everything else is asking for our support, including, you know, us at our offertory, because that's our need. But above and beyond that, I have to know there's more than enough if this project is going to happen. And so I need for 15 people today to give me a check for $100, independent of our love offering. Not during the love offering, but afterwards. Either give it to me personally or give it to Terry in the bookstore, or use your credit card, so that we can pull together those who would volunteer as a production team. We'd first have a training for those who are interested, and then you would be vetted as to whether or not you have the time and the ability to do this. Then out of that fund of $1,500 or so, we would have 15 people. They could purchase that software, learn how to make a movie, and then we would have a workshop for those of you who want someone to make a movie, and then you'd be trained as to what you need to bring to the session, such as pictures or a song or affirmations. And then we would have an opportunity for us to see each other's movies, not only on Sunday, but during special events. I mean, you cannot underestimate the power of the ability to sit down with someone and help them co-create the new expression of themselves. It is so awesome to go through that experience and to have our younger congregants be the multitude of those who help support those of us who don't necessarily have the time or the energy to be able to mess with that stuff, to have the generations come together and serve one another. The possibilities are just huge. So that's my pitch with respect to how this gets funded. Then subsequent to this talk, the other times that I'm going to be sharing from the pulpit, I'm going to be talking about my specific experience with using this tool so far for the last 3 months, and it's phenomenal. But I got to tell you how we're going to use it. And this struggle, because part of the creation process is the transformation in and of itself. Because when you see I'm wanting to manifest $10,000 a week in my life, you got to know I had to deal with my sense of not enough to put that up there. And I want to tell you what my experience was, because it's pivotal. You get to a place after you create something like this where you don't have that old belief system running you when this is running. It's just that simple. Is there anything else I need to say about this? Am I done? I think I've covered it. Okay. And so you probably noticed that I don't have my glasses anymore. And now I can see the clock, and now that I can talk over on purpose. God bless you all. Oh, wait a minute. I'm going to end with this song.
There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying. Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. We can't go on pretending day by day that someone somewhere will soon make a change. We are a part of God's great big family, and the truth, you know, love is all we need.
We are the world. We are the children. We are the ones who make a brighter day. So let's start giving.
Let's live.